What separates true genius from mere talent? While Apple's Genius Bar employees may fix your iPhone, genuine genius remains as captivating as it is mysterious. We're drawn to stories of exceptional minds because they give us hope. Hope that human potential is limitless, and that perhaps some extraordinary spark lies dormant within ourselves. Yale professor Craig Wright, who teaches the university's popular Exploring the Nature of Genius course, offers a fascinating exploration of what makes exceptional minds tick. True genius differs fundamentally from talent. As philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer noted, a person of talent hits a target that no one else can hit. A person of genius hits a target that no one else can see. Think of Nikola Tesla predicting smartphones in 1919, or Jeff Bezos foreseeing e-commerce's potential when others dismissed it. Genius requires not just brilliance, but transformative societal impact. Without changing the world across cultures and time, even extraordinary minds cannot claim the title. This explains why figures like Beethoven, Kanye West, and Lady Gaga may be considered geniuses for their creative innovations, while virtuoso performers like Yo-Yo Ma or athletes like Michael Phelps, despite their remarkable talents, cannot. Is genius born or made? The answer is complex. Many geniuses possess extraordinary innate talents they rarely recognize in themselves. Leonardo da Vinci had keen visual observation that let him freeze-frame moving objects. Tesla possessed eidetic memory, reciting entire works like Goethe's Faust. Artists like Kandinsky and Van Gogh were born synesthesiacs, perceiving colors when hearing sounds. Yet Francis Galton's theory that genius runs in families proves flawed. Secretariat, the record-setting Kentucky Derby winner, came from unremarkable bloodlines and produced just one Triple Crown-winning offspring. Similarly, most human geniuses neither come from exceptional parents nor produce genius children. Modern epigenetics offers a more nuanced view. Genes provide potential, but environment determines which genes activate. Geniuses universally work with obsessive dedication. As Picasso noted, inspiration exists, but it has to find you working. The 10,000-hour rule captures part of this truth, but overlooks natural abilities that make practice enjoyable. Olympic figure skater Nathan Chen suggests top performers possess 80% natural ability while maximizing the remaining 20% through relentless effort. Our cultural obsession with IQ began in 1905 when Alfred Binet created tests to identify students needing educational assistance. What started as a remedial tool became a gateway to elite status. Yet standardized tests fail to measure creativity and innovative thinking, the essence of genius. As Edison noted, reasonable things never work. You'll have to begin thinking up unreasonable things. Many recognized geniuses performed poorly on standardized measures. Darwin's father predicted he'd disgrace the family. Churchill was a poor student. Einstein graduated fourth in a class of five, and Jobs had a mediocre GPA. Gardner's multiple intelligences and Wright's many traits quotient offer better frameworks, measuring curiosity, resilience, passion, and work ethic. Most experts believe a threshold IQ of only 115 to 125 is sufficient for excellence, after which other qualities become far more important. Once you understand your field's fundamentals, what matters is how you apply that intelligence, your creativity, perseverance, and willingness to challenge established thinking. When 4,000 adults named historical geniuses, the first woman, usually Marie Curie, appeared eighth on average, reflecting not a lack of female brilliance, but systematic suppression throughout history. Virginia Woolf, despite her privileged London upbringing in 1882, received inferior education compared to her brothers. After being denied access to an Oxbridge library, her 1929 essay, A Room of One's Own, identified three prerequisites women historically lacked: private space, financial independence, and time. Female writers often concealed their gender. Jane Austen published anonymously, while others used male pseudonyms, George Sand, Aurora Dudevant, George Eliot, Marianne Evans, and the Bronte sisters as the Bells. This practice continues with J.K. Rowling, P.D. James, and E.L. James. Rowling's agent advised hiding her gender would boost sales. Cultural bias devastated female creative careers. Fanny Mendelssohn's father told her music could never be the core of your existence. Clara Schumann abandoned composition, stating, "A woman must not desire to compose." Approximately 9 of 20 potential geniuses remain underemployed due to gender bias, a tremendous waste of human potential. Creative genius often stems from maintaining childlike imagination. Kanye West lamented reality taking my inner child, while Picasso observed, "Every child is an artist. The problem is to remain an artist as we grow up." Critics noted Picasso's cubist works attempted to draw as children do. Einstein thought visually, forming ideas through memory pictures before translating them to mathematical formulas. His famous thought experiments emerged from mental play, imagining grabbing light rays or visualizing streetcars at light speed. The greatest creative minds retain childlike qualities throughout life. Michael Jackson identified as the lost boy of Never Never Land, while Walt Disney made films for the child in all of us. Jeff Bezos notes that great inventors maintain a beginner's mind, a divine discontent, allowing them to see improvement possibilities in familiar things. What might you discover if you approached your field with a child's fresh eyes? The link between genius and mental difference has intrigued us for centuries. Plato wrote of divine mania, while Aristotle connected genius with madness, noting exceptional creativity often springs from unusual mental states. Vincent van Gogh created masterpieces during institutionalization. Virginia Woolf used writing as therapy for her bipolar disorder. For many creative geniuses, mental disorder serves as both limitation and catalyst. Beethoven transformed his deafness into his signature contribution, discovering sound itself by reducing music to basic elements and amplifying them through volume and pitch. Chuck Close, with prosopagnosia, face blindness, achieved fame by photographing faces, dividing them into small units and painting each separately. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Human salvation lies in the hands of the creatively maladjusted." Could your perceived weakness become your unique creative strength? What perspective might you bring that others cannot see? The most transformative ideas emerge when concepts from different fields collide. Lady Gaga exemplifies this cross-border mentality, blending classical music, performance art, fashion, and activism into a unique creative identity that has earned her 9 Grammys and an Academy Award. Throughout history, combinatorial thinking has yielded extraordinary innovations. The Sphinx, Archimedes' water-lifting screw, Gutenberg's printing press, and Van Gogh's brushstrokes inspired by textile patterns. Steve Jobs epitomized this approach, transforming the iPod into the iPhone by merging music with telephone technology and maintaining that creativity is just connecting things. Research confirms generalists outperform specialists in prediction and problem solving. Nobel Prize-winning scientists are nearly 3 times more likely to engage in fine arts than their peers, and many scientific geniuses, from Leonardo da Vinci to Werner Heisenberg, were accomplished musicians. In our specialized world, true genius may lie in crossing boundaries. What unexpected combinations might transform your field? What unrelated passion might provide the perspective to solve your most challenging problems?